You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We all know that offense sells. Sports changed the rules to help scoring, and the NFL did it with passing. Baseball did it with baseballs, and although they deny it, the NBA cut out a lot of the physicality, which has created more spread out games offenses. The Rockets don't just spread the ball. They almost ignore two-point shots, and they hoist up as many threes as possible. And right now, tied with the Thunder at two games apiece, opening round playoff series. In game four, in a loss, they attempted 58 three-pointers, and they passed up easy two-point chances, kicked it back out. This isn't new for them. When it works, it's unstoppable. And when it doesn't work, it's unstoppable because they can't stop chucking up threes. The Warriors won titles with their version of this kind of offense, but the Rockets go to the next level. If they go to the next level, can it lead to a championship? And you've got basketball coming up tonight. It'll be the Thunder and the Rockets, the Blazers, Lakers, Magic, and the Bucks. The Nuggets came back to beat the Jazz, and it's a 3-2 in that series. The Clippers rolled the Mavericks, and they're now leading 3-2. Yesterday, Reggie Miller, in the final hour of the show, said he needed probably about 65 points between Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And I said, well, I feel pretty confident that Kawhi can give you 30. I wasn't sure about Paul George, but last night, Paul George played well. And what was interesting was not during the game and how he played, but what he said after the game.
The bubble got the best of me. I was just in a dark place. I really wasn't here. I checked out. So these past couple games, it was just difficult. But shout out to people that stood behind me, that was in my corner, the positivity, my teammates, my family, friends, everybody. Thank everybody that reached out to me. I was just in a bad place, and I found my way. I'm back, and I look forward to the rest of this run.
Okay. I said, you know, the last couple of days, is there something wrong with Paul George? Is there something wrong physically with him? And as it turns out, maybe mentally there has been. He was in a dark place, maybe depression there, and came out of it last night. Now, granted, they were kind of hollow numbers, but if I'm Doc Rivers, I'm encouraged by what I saw, that you're taking shots, making shots. You know, they blow out the Mavericks there. The Mavericks without Kristaps Porzingis. And, oh, that's right, we had a bet last night. I almost forgot about that. Yes, McLovin?
I'm so psyched. The Jamal Murray bet.
No,
we won.
No, we didn't do a Jamal. We didn't do a Jamal Murray bet.
Wait, what?
No, we did a Luka Doncic bet.
Oh.
Because I said Luka would not score over 29 points last night, and all four Danettes said that they would take the over.
Wait, you said he would score over.
He would not.
For the series?
No.
Again?
So I got the Big German and Tyler. They're making, I think it's Boston cream pies there.
Oh.
Yeah, so that'll be for the latter part of the show. I don't want you having, you know, pie all over your face for an entire hour there. But you guys lost a bet. It's content, and you'll have to pay up a little later on. Yes, Paul?
First of all, there's nothing that puts you in a better mood than this. You came in with springs under your feet as you walked today.
Hello, fellas.
Hello, boys.
Yeah, I know.
Dun, 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 dun.
I did come in, and I go, pie, guys. I mean, hi, guys.
Big smile on your face.
And then, I asked you to borrow some money today, just flying around the studio. I feel bad about wasting pies, though. Like, I don't mind getting hit, but the waste of the pie, I'm still eating mine.
Well, we can set it up where I put you over a table and I hit you with it. Now, I'm thinking you guys do self-imposed pies. Like you have to smash your face.
Kamikaze style.
Yeah, yeah.
What if we have to get one of the other Danettes? Like, Paul could get Todd or Todd can get Andrew or...
Do you want to do front row, back row? Where...
That could be fun.
Seton, you do to Paulie and then Paulie, you do it to Seton? You know what's better? Paulie... Fritzy.
That's tasty.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Todd, you okay with that?
Whatever you guys want to do.
Okay. Wait, do you want to do it?
That's fine.
Do you want to blast Paulie in the face with a pie?
You know, I'm happy to throw a pie at any of the guys. You guys are looking for violence and broken noses.
No, I'm not looking for violence. No broken noses.
Whoever you assign me to is fine with me.
You have Paulie, Seton as McLovin.
Looking for violence and broken noses. What the hell's wrong with you? It's just a pie to the face.
It's just a pie to the face, Todd.
What's the reason for delegating specific people to specific people?
It's content. you and Paulie have a little whatever you have, and I thought it might be fun if Paulie's going to let you go first, by the way.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. He wants to see how you
last licks.
Administer the pot.
It's good to have last licks.
Yes, it
last
is. Throw. Yes, McLevin.
Can we throw them at each other from like 5 feet away to add like, so athletic ability comes into this Ooh. Too? Instead of having the right
Well,
next
I got to make sure you get hit. Because you guys might have some kind of side deal where you go, hey, Seton, I'm going to act like I throw. I mean, Paulie can't throw.
I could barely hit someone who's physically next to me.
Yeah. I mean, Paulie's got one good eye. Can't have that. All right, so that's a little bit later on today. We'll have a poll question. We got a play of the day. I'm sure Ethan will come up with a stat of the day as well. There was a moment last night. You know, the game was out of reach with the Clippers and the Mavs. But there was a moment last night where Marcus Morris stepped on Luka Doncic's ankle. This just happened to be the sore ankle, the sprained ankle. Now, it's hard to read into intent, but I'm not going to give Morris the benefit of the doubt. If this had been Paul George, then I would, or Kawhi Leonard, then I would. But I'm not going to in this situation here. Because if you look at Morris, when he approaches Luka, he's not even making a basketball play. Because it's an out-of-bounds, and he immediately, it's almost like he targets Luka Doncic and goes right for the, so of all the ankles he's stepping on, he steps on the bad ankle there. And what was he doing around Doncic in the first place after a basket and taking the ball out of bounds? I don't know. Like, the NBA needs to at least say something, because you've had the Montrezl Harrell moment. With what he said to Luka Doncic, there was a lot of chatter last night that the Clippers were saying things back to Doncic. Now, look, I don't want this to be, hey, let's tattletale. And all. Luka Doncic, by all accounts, looks like a grown man. He can take care of himself. But the NBA has to worry about this, because you can't pick and choose when you're handing out discipline, or you choose to look or listen the other way. And I think that, I hate saying it, but I felt it last night. If last night's game was a closeout game and the Clippers were acting the way they were on the bench and then this happened, you might have seen something where push came to shove. I think the commissioner's got to at least, you know, send a message here that we're not going to put up with this. Rick Carlisle got tossed from that game last night because he thought that Morris did it on purpose. Not that he's going to say that he did it on purpose, but it looked like he did it on purpose. Here is Luka after the game.
I don't want to talk to him, you know. He's just saying a lot of bad stuff to me all the game, you know. And just I don't want to talk to him. And I just got to move on, you know. Like I said, everybody's going to have their own opinion. And, you know, I just hope it wasn't intentional. Because if that was intentional, that's really bad, man.
Yeah. And the NBA at least has to get the Clippers' attention just to say, guys, you know what? We're not going to put up with this. And you don't want to appear to just be protecting Luka in this situation. But given what has happened already, remember when Luka got clotheslined and then Porzingis got a technical there, you know, where they grabbed him and spun him around? So they've been, and this is the book, you know, you're trying to be physical on him. You want to see what he can take. You know, they did this with Nowitzki when he first came in. They used to make fun of him on the sidelines, his rookie year, calling him a lot of different things. Stuff like this happens, but in the bubble where we get to hear this, and then we saw this, we saw the actual footage of what Morris was doing to Luka Doncic. In my opinion, it looked like he was trying to target him. And if I'm the NBA, you can't judge intent, but given the kind of temperature of this series, I'd be judging intent right now if I'm Commissioner Silver. Yes, Paulie.
If you're the NBA, and this is an obvious question, like the NFL quarterbacks, don't you overprotect the stars, especially with the ratings? You can't have a game without Luka Doncic present. And anything to keep those stars on the court, you can ding a guy like Morris and no one will miss a beat if he's not in the game.
Yeah, and you know, I'll ask Charles Barkley about it, because I'm not here to overly protect, but I do think that there are moments where you're letting the guy who has less talent dictate. And that's the problem I have with the Clippers. Montrezl Harrell, he makes a layup and he celebrates like he just won game 7. You know, Morris out there, you got to have these guys. These are valuable guys to win a championship, but you can't let that guy dictate what is going to happen. It's like when you have a goon in hockey and he all of a sudden is going to dictate what happens to the star players. It's just not good for the sport. And I think that that's something that any league should be looking out for, not just the NBA. Yeah, McLevin.
But it never goes away. I mean, Draymond is on it. There's a Draymond on every title team. Marcus Smart.
Yeah, but Draymond Green's going to be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done.
Right, but
Montrezl Harrell, nobody's going to care about his career.
But I still think Draymond's legacy might be got booted out of that finals for kicking a guy.
I know. Yeah. Being stupid, it cost him a championship. Yeah. But that's the role he plays. He's at least talented. You know, these other guys, you know, Draymond has made all-star teams, right?
What do you think of Marcus Smart? Because he's effective. Like, he plays super hard, but he also seems kind of dirty.
But I don't know if he's a cheap shot artist. This is, Luka goes to the hoop. This is how this started. And then they grabbed him and spun him around, and then he said something. And that's when Porzingis came in, and then Porzingis ended up getting tossed in a game that, had he not gotten tossed, they would have won, in my opinion. But if you're going to play hard basketball, you know, a playoff foul is different than a regular season foul, at least it used to be. But that, to me, you accidentally step on the best player on the floor on his injured ankle? I don't think I'm going to give you. And it wasn't in a scrum. It wasn't going up for a rebound or, hey, I accidentally did it. To me, it felt like it was an opportunity. It just did. Yeah, McLevin.
Isn't that sports, though? You go after the injured part. I know it's like, I mean, in football,
I can't do that in the NBA where I'm going to go after your ankle by stepping on it where you're not even watching.
Right. But the history of the sport, I mean, in football, you would go, if you knew the running back had an injured ankle, you'd step on his foot in the pile every time you could, right?
It's a different, but it's football.
Basketball is all, in the 70s and 80s, I felt like it was kind of like that.
But if you got caught, then that's where you have to answer. And in my opinion, you know, the Clippers played great. Played great. That should not be overshadowed. They played great. And maybe they looked at what the Lakers did the other night and went, you know, we better step our game up really quick here because we could be in trouble. And they haven't played great. They're still getting their pieces together. But I'm not going to give Morris or Harrell the benefit of the doubt in these situations here because you haven't earned it. And Doncic has said, this has been going on. The officials need to police this because basketball doesn't police itself. Because you don't have somebody on Dallas going, hey, I'm going to step on. Imagine if somebody goes, you know, I'm going to step on Kawhi's ankle. Hey, I'm going to be dirty to Kawhi. You don't want that. We want the best players on the floor. I don't want some marginal player out there dictating what could happen. Imagine if Luka, you know, couldn't play in the next game. So we get cheated because of that, because you allowed this to happen, or you didn't step in after the fact to say, we're not putting up with this nonsense anymore. But you got games coming up tonight. You got the Lakers trying to close out the Blazers, Thunder, and the Rockets. And that one is really interesting tonight. Magic and the Bucks. The Greek Freak is the Defensive Player of the Year. He's also going to be the MVP. I don't know how many times you've had Defensive Player of the Year and MVP in the same season, but you're seeing something special with the Greek Freak. I know he's not must-see TV. His team's not must-see TV, but he's turning in one of the great seasons, the last couple of seasons. And I always want to see how you improve. He went from averaging 6 points to 12 to 17 to 20 to 23 to 27 to almost 28 to almost 30. Every single year his scoring has gone up. Got to be a better free throw shooter, but I'm nitpicking there. But that's pretty impressive with what he's done.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let me get to Charles Barkley, who, of course, is the star of TNT. Chuck, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I was worried about you last night. They were picking on you, and I thought if Kenny was a little bit bigger, you might have popped him.
No, man. We just have fun. You know, it's crazy right now, working every day, so we're just trying to make sure people watching and enjoying the show. Basketball's been good.
But are you out of the prediction business?
for today. I'm going to take some time off. I'm 0-3 on guaranteeing, so I'm going to take some time off. Yeah, I'm going to definitely take some time off.
Yeah, but you have to have something attached to your guarantee. Like, if it doesn't happen, then this has to happen.
Well, the good thing about my guarantees, you know, I'm not in one of those states where I can bet on the app right now for FanDuel. So, and I'm not near a casino. So right now, they're just words.
Well, that's probably a good thing. I did love the Blazers prediction just from the fact that you were so strong with it. And then Shaq broke your broom when you said there was going to be a sweep. That was good TV.
Yeah, man, you know, the Blazers looks like they've run out of gas. But yeah, the main thing, the Lakers are making shots. You know, they were the worst three-point shooting team in the NBA all season. But the last three games, they're making shots. I mean, we knew AD and LeBron were going to play great. But now they're making shots. The key is, can they keep doing it? I mean, because even though they're on a hot streak, you know, their track record says they're the worst NBA three-point shooting team in the NBA all season.
Yeah, I don't know if Portland is going to solve everything for the Lakers. To me, it was kind of the perfect team to face because they don't play any defense. But I don't know what's going to happen this next round. I mean, Utah has been surprisingly good considering Conley left the bubble. Bogdanovich had the wrist surgery there. So I don't know who do the Lakers want to face between Denver and Utah.
Wait, don't they play the Rockets next?
Reggie was saying yesterday that the Lakers facing Utah would be great.
Well, first of all, Utah, I can't remember the brackets right off the top of my head.
McLevin, check that for me to see if Chuck is right.
Yeah, Lakers-Rockets.
Lakers-Rockets, okay. Or yeah, Lakers-OKC, okay.
Yeah, and listen, it all depends on Westbrook, but they'd be favored over the Rockets. Listen, that Denver series, if Denver plays any defense, I picked Denver to win that series. They played great last night, but that's still a pick 'em series in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the Rockets – I mean, that philosophy, you live by it, you die by it. You know, Duke – I mean, they'd pass up twos, Chuck, to take a three.
Well, you know what? Listen, they have a style. They're going to go with it. You know, in the third quarter the other night, they made 8 straight threes to start, and they went out to a good lead. And then down the stretch, they were 5-for-26.
Yeah.
They were actually 4-for-26. They threw one up at the buzzer that went in. It didn't count. I mean, it counted. So they were 4-for-26. Listen, it was great if it works, but I think shooting a basketball is probably the hardest part of basketball. And you're just going to go through streaks where you can't make them. You know, that year against the Warriors, they missed like 30 in a row. And my question is, can they, against an elite team, an elite defensive team, can they make 4 out of 7 days? And I just think that's too hard to do.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think they're a great regular season curiosity. But when it gets to the postseason, I just think that system is flawed because their shooters aren't as good as Golden State shooters. And Golden State plays defense as well when they were having their title runs.
Well, and also, I think you put so much pressure on one guy. James is the best one-on-one player I've probably ever seen. You know, no disrespect to Michael or Kobe, but James Harden, when I said it a few years ago, everybody said I was crazy. Now they know this guy is unstoppable one-on-one.
Yep.
But the problem is you always get tired. I mean, I remember when I was living I live in Phoenix. I thought Steve Nash wore down every year. I believe that. I just think it's too hard to do that for 2 straight months.
And the same with Iverson. You know, these guys who have to carry that every single night, people don't realize – A, the pressure and just the energy that you exert trying to do that every single night.
Well, and you know, Dan, one thing that I've said is you have to do it every single night. You think about it. LeBron had a bad game and they still beat Portland. Jamal Murray's had some bad, like James Harden is the only player in the NBA who has to play great for his team to win every night because he has the ball 100% of the time. He has to play great every single night. There's no other player in the NBA who has to play great for their team to win?
I'd argue Luka has to play great for that team to win.
Well, he can get, the other day when he scored the 40 points, that was fantastic. But if he got 25 points, they could still win. James has to get, in my opinion, James has to get a minimum of 30 a night for that team, because he's the guy, especially with no Russ.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And speaking of Luka last night, the Clippers blow him out. But, there's that moment where Morris steps on Luka's bad ankle. Now, if you're the NBA, do you read anything? It's hard to read intent into something, Charles. But given the physicality and what's happened with the Clippers to Luka and what they've said and done, do you say or do anything to the Clippers if you're the commissioner?
The plays did not look good, in my opinion, because if you look at the play, the play's already dead. The ball's in the basket. There's no reason for him to be going toward that basket. You would actually be getting back on defense. I don't want to get on your show and accuse somebody of playing dirty, but I will say this. There was no reason for him to be going toward Luka in that situation. I mean, the ball's in the basket. And you normally would be getting back on defense. It's not a good look. I mean, Adam's going to have to take a look at that, but it doesn't look good. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Once again, it's hard to read intent in there, but I agree with you. I said that about 15 minutes ago. Morris is not making a basketball move. There's no reason for him to be going towards Luka because it's an inbounds pass there. And then he steps on the back of his ankle there. So,
yeah, I mean, Dan, listen, I don't ever want to get on TV and accuse somebody of doing something dirty. But I'm saying, listen, the evidence does not look good. There's no reason. I mean, the ball's in the back. And I've looked at it 100 times. I'm exaggerating, obviously. I'm like, okay, the ball's in the basket. He's not even close to the lane when the ball goes in the basket. Yeah. And then he runs in the lane and steps on the guy's ankle. It's not a very good look.
What do you think of the Clippers right now? Last night changed anything?
Well, I think they saw the Lakers play with great energy and effort. And they're like, you know what? We can't beat that team the way we're playing. Listen, I think that 100% of people in the world going into the season thought it was going to come down to the Lakers and Clippers. I think it's fair to say it's pretty much still going to come down to the Lakers and Clippers in the West. Denver's really inconsistent and bad defensively. I think Utah, the loss of Bogdanovich, is a really big deal. I thought if Bogdanovich played, that was a pick'em series. So I don't think anything changed my mind. It's going to be the Lakers and the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, in my opinion.
Charles Barkley, the Hall of Famer, TNT's Inside the NBA, joining us on the program. Greek Freak is Defensive Player of the Year. Now he's going to be the MVP. Can you be the best player in the sport but not be the face of a sport?
Well, listen, what he's accomplished at this age is incredible. And I tell you what, Dan, he's such a great kid. His humility. I think about last year when we had him on the award show and he won the MVP, he was crying. I mean, even last night when we gave him the Defensive Player of the Year, he was emotional. He's a great kid. I heard you guys talking about earlier one of your poll questions. I mean, he's only 26.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan didn't win his first championship until he was 28. I think the same thing with LeBron. I get frustrated when these guys in the media, not you, but the guys in the media talking about, well, if he don't win the championship this year, he's got to leave Milwaukee. I'm like, nobody said that to Michael Jordan when he was, I love the way these guys like, oh, he hasn't won it. He's got to leave Milwaukee to win the championship. I hope he wins the championship. It'd be great for the NBA. I hope he stays in Milwaukee. I'd hate to see him join a super team because, that dilutes the NBA. But what he's accomplished so far is incredible. And I would love for him to be the face of the NBA because he's such a great kid and a hell of a player.
Whose reputation has gone up the most in the bubble? Damian, Doncic, Jamal Murray, Donovan Mitchell?
Well, that's a really difficult question and a great question. You know, listen, I think that Dame was awesome. You know, that team, man, they got a lot of talent. I hate that they ran out of gas. I wish they could be together for the entire season because they would have been a one or two seed. But what Donovan has done so far and what Luka's done, man, listen, the NBA has got some great players. They're really close to being superstars. I mean, man, I feel really good about where we're going in the future. But I don't think you can say – I'll take any one of those guys you've mentioned, man, to be honest with you. I mean, they've been great in the bubble. And listen, I want to give Adam Silver a shout-out. Let me tell you something, man. I have been on the record. I thought there was no way this thing would work. I thought there was no way this thing worked. Same thing with my boys in hockey. Shout out to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Hell of a game last night. My boy John Cooper's the coach. I was watching the whole game. But let me tell you something. I thought there was no way this thing could work without a bunch of positive tests. But shout out to Gary Bettman and Adam Silver. And also to the players for staying really – I mean, we had a couple of hiccups. But I cannot believe we made it this far with no positive tests. Now, that's going to change the next round when we start bringing in families and things like that. But we've already been farther than I ever thought we would get.
And also, Paul George said he was in a dark place. He was battling depression in the bubble there.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure what that was about. I have already talked to a couple of players, and they were complaining about the food and things like that. I'm not sure when you're – listen, the people who are living in the pandemic, who've lost their jobs, you know, we got a hurricane battling down on Houston, the two hurricanes. You know, so I don't think guys making millions of dollars should be worried just because they're stuck in a place where they can go fishing and play golf and play basketball and make millions of dollars. That's not a dark place. The thing that just happened in Wisconsin – the thing that's happening with this pandemic, all these people losing their job, those people are in a dark place. We are the luckiest people in the world to dribble a stupid basketball and make millions of dollars. We're never in a dark place. I just think we need to be careful what we complain about. I mean, those people who are getting ready to get hit with those two hurricanes in the middle of a pandemic, that's awful, man. My thoughts are to those people.
You brought up what happened in Wisconsin with Jacob Blake. And there was talk yesterday that some of these players were looking at maybe sitting out, you know, the Raptors, a couple of Fred VanVleet, that maybe they would sit out a game in protest of what happened when he was shot seven times. This might come down to, does LeBron, I don't know how much pressure is on LeBron to do something, because when LeBron does it, then everybody else does it. But do you think that there's a potential of these players maybe sitting out a game as a show of protest with what happened?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that would do, to be honest with you. Yeah. I think they got an amazing platform. I thought, like last night, Doc Rivers, I thought, stole the show. I thought he was amazing. Just the emotion. You know, Dan, I'm never going to tell anybody they're right or wrong the way they want to protest, but I'm not sure how sitting out a game, boycotting a game would have an effect on the situation. You know, we need police reform. We need prison reform. Those are two things we really need. You know, I talked about it last night on the show. I said, you know, I'm disappointed that because bad cops are making it unsafe for the good cops. That's what I said last night. If all the good cops, then most of the cops are great. I don't care what anybody says. I think most of the cops are great. But they're making it unsafe for the good cops, the bad cops. And I'm disappointed in the police union. I think the police need to get together and get rid of their union, to be honest with you, because they're making it unsafe for the good cops. We need cops. If it wasn't for the cops, I mean, everybody calls the cops when things are bad. But we have some cops who shouldn't be cops. My bodyguard is a cop. For 30 years. His wife was a cop for 30 years. Shout out to James Haywood. And he talked, we talk about it all the time. I always get his opinion on these shootings. And he always said, hey, he'll tell me when the cops are right. He'll tell me when the cops are wrong. And so this clearly was a, you know, the shooter guy in the back with kids in the car. You know, I know that was an altercation beforehand, which I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going on with the media. They did not show us the altercation in advance. There was an altercation in advance before he went to his car. They have to show us that. But that being said, I think there's a we got to find a way to de-escalate the situation without shooting a guy in the back seven times with his kids in the car.
Yeah. And unarmed.
And unarmed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you have to really be careful there, Dan. Like I said, I know he was unarmed, but, you know, if you get in a fight with somebody and they go to their car, that's a really scary situation. But there's got to be a better way than shooting a guy seven times in the back with his kids in the car.
Good to visit with you. You got Thunder, Rockets, Magic, Bucks, Blazers, Lakers. You excited?
You know, Dan, this is turning into like a real job. We work every day.
It's like NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but that's only a couple days. You know, working. You know, Dan, I'm 57. I've never worked every day in my life. This is no joke. Hey, I'm starting to like you and the nerds a lot more now. It's like, man, how do y'all get up and go to work every day? This is no joke.
I don't know how people don't get up every day and go to work.
Well, they call professional players. They're called jocks. We don't go to work every day.
Are you playing golf today?
No, man. The weather has been awful in Atlanta. You know, we're in a bubble in Atlanta. It has rained every day for, you know, we're getting the remnants of those two hurricanes. So it has rained every day for a week, and it's going to rain every day for another week because, like I say, we're not in the path of the hurricane, but we're getting the side effects.
Have you had Shaq out playing golf?
No. Shaq is, he's too busy smoking hookah to play golf.
Wait, do you have a video of Shaq smoking his hookah?
Shaq does hookah every single day, Dan. He loves hookah. You know, I've been a couple times because I'm not a big hookah guy, but he loves his hookah, man. He loves it.
What kind of feeling does it give you?
You know, it didn't do anything for me. I don't know how it affects other people. It didn't do anything for me. It's kind of like when I smoke pot. I smoked pot like five times in my life, and all it made me want to do is eat potato chips. Like, I got a couple homeboys who love pot, who smoke it all the time. I've tried about five times in my life, and like I say, all it makes me want to do is eat potato chips.
You don't need pot to do that.
No, but I'm saying, like, I love potato chips, obviously, like most people do. But, you know, I tried to be like one of my boys, like, yo, man, try this. And I tried, and I'm like, it didn't make me feel no type of way. I'm like, yo, man, it just makes me hungry. It's kind of like yoga. Like yoga, I've done yoga before. And they're like, well, don't it take you to a different place? I'm like, no, it don't do anything for me. I feel like I'm stretching. No, it doesn't free my mind or anything. It just makes me feel like I'm stretching.
Good to visit with you. And
all right, man. Thanks for joining me, man. Thank you for having me.
All right, buddy.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
He's Philip Rivers. He's now with the Colts, which sounds strange to say it. How did it feel when you put on that Colts uniform for the first time?
It felt good. You know, it's certainly different when you put on the same uniform for 16 years, but it felt good. It's nice that there's some blue in it. So kind of in a lot of ways felt right at home.
Didn't feel like you were cheating on somebody?
No. It's maybe had it been, you know, early March, it may have felt, but shoot, we kicked this thing off here in 2.5 weeks. So it feels good.
What about all your Chargers gear? Where's that?
I have it all. I kept it all. You know, that was an interesting part of the whole move. I said, I don't think there's any reason to bring it to Indiana, but we'll certainly save it and bring it back out one day.
How about a garage sale?
I think we'll hang on to it. It drives my wife crazy that I'll keep every sweatshirt and a pair of sweatpants that I've gotten over the years. But yeah, we got them all saved up.
You're a hoarder?
I mean, I don't know. I just have a heart. Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. But there'll be an old, you know, Chargers 17 shirt from 2008. And she'll go, why are you keeping that? But can't help it.
Do you have NC State gear at home?
I do have some NC State gear. Yeah. I tend to bring that out, you know, during the season. I'm sure it's the same everywhere. It gets to Friday, Saturday, and you start to represent your school around the locker room. So NC State stuff usually comes out in the fall.
It's tough enough to play the position at a high level. Now you're changing, you know, going from the West Coast to the Midwest, a new team here late in your career. How difficult is this now, trying to get everybody together on the same page as the team leader?
Well, you know, it's definitely a challenge, but I do think being in a similar scheme and system has been helpful. And also being with Frank and Nick again. So we communicate, we know we're on the same page from that standpoint and what we're trying to get done. So that has been very helpful. You know, people are asking me, how's it going to take with getting used to receivers and all that? That's been really good. You know, that's another thing with Nick being the receiver coach in San Diego for all those years. The things have been taught here, the little nuances of the routes and the conversions and all those things are exactly the same. So it's what I'm used to. So that certainly has helped. We got a good group. We got a good group. So it's a challenge every day because there's little things that come up that you think, gosh, you know, you're used to things happening a certain way. And it's like, well, yeah, we haven't had that come up in a practice with this particular player or this adjustment. And so they're good. Every day we learn something and get better. And it's just got to happen at an accelerated curve because of how close we are now to kickoff.
What do you miss about California?
Well, I guess the weather is the only thing that's different here so far. I mean, from a standpoint of when you get in training camp mode, you certainly miss some of your buddies and people you've been around that you're used to seeing around the facility. Other than that, when you get in training camp mode, you're all about the team you're on and getting better every day. So I've really been thankful and enjoyed getting to know this locker room, this group of guys, this support staff, this coaching staff. It's really been a lot of fun to come into work every day.
How much thought did you give to not playing this year, opting out?
None really. I mean, I never even got even to where it was a real discussion.
With your wife?
Yeah, it was, we were, unless there'd have been some crazy, I can't even think of the, you know, kind of the what could have happened. I don't even know what the parameters could have been to make it become a discussion. But as everything kind of got situated, felt good about it.
You look at you and you look at Brady and Ben and you look at Drew Brees. And what is it about that position that you can be in your late 30s, early 40s and still play at a high level?
Well, I think we've obviously seen the quarterback position is evolving a little bit in a sense of now that you're better off if you can throw it and run it.
Could you ever run it?
Yeah, I don't. That's last option. That's last option for me. And if I'm out there and it looks like I may run, I always tell the White House, keep your eyes on me because I'd much rather flick it to you the last minute.
Could you outrun Brady right now?
It'd be a heck of a race, but I like my chances.
You could get Roethlisberger, couldn't you?
I don't know now, Ben. I don't know. Ben's definitely got a little more agileness. Agileness, is that a word? A little more agility to him than I do when it comes to moving around. But, you know, I think really with our position, and I think that's why you can still do it at this level. Ultimately, there's going to be a 3rd and 7. You got to make play from the pocket. And at the end of the day, I think that's what carries it. You can get out of things when you can run it and do all those things. But I think that's what have allowed, you know, us traditional passers to play, you know, at the age we are. And I think too, it's about how quickly you can process it, see it, and get the ball out of your hand, get the ball to the playmaker. So, you know, every system and every team has a little different philosophy. But I think with what we do system wise and the skill players we have that, at 38 or in Brady's case at 42, 43, you can still get it done.
He's Philip Rivers, the Colts quarterback. Still sounds strange to say that. Are your kids all in on you, you know, the Colts, and nobody is sort of still a Charger fan?
No, it's amazing what that that family loyalty runs deep. It's I mean, it's like snap your fingers and it's all Colts. All of a sudden, T.Y.'s a receiver and this and that, and they're going, you know, the whole deal.
That's
so
great.
I think they still will because of how long I was there, and really some of them have that as they've gotten older, you know. You know, the Keenan Allens and the Hunter Henrys and those guys, they'll still pull for those guys, as will I. But I think, yeah, they quickly adjust. They had more Colts gear than I had right off the bat. I mean, Dad, can I click this? Can I order this? Can I order this? So there was Colts gear early in the spring once the thing got ironed out.
We talked to Bosa a couple of weeks ago. He still can't name all your kids.
Yeah, I can understand that. You know, Joey being a younger player when he got there, and then the last 3 years in L.A., we were a little bit removed from the whole scene family-wise because we were still down in San Diego. So Joey didn't quite get as much interaction with the family as some of the older veterans.
So all the kids are there with you in Indy?
We're all here. Yeah, we're all here.
did you drive or did they fly to get out there?
No, we flew. So we were down in Florida for, about 6 months before we came. We came up here 1st of June to try to get settled in before training camp, and we did. So it's good. You know, I think being from North Alabama, I know there's like all this competition, you know, demographic-wise, like or location-wise where you are, you know, the South, the Midwest, everybody's a little biased and territorial, but it does feel a little like the South to us. It feels a lot like North Alabama from a standpoint of, you know, both the weather, the neighborhoods, the people, the everything. So it's been a good transition. We've enjoyed it.
Did Alabama recruit you?
Nah, not really. I can't say they did. Auburn did. We know that story. But Alabama had Tyler Watts. You remember these guys, and Andrew Zhao. You remember those two names? They were both redshirt sophomores when I was coming out, and then Brody Croll was kind of already in the works. That was a year or two behind me. So they didn't take a quarterback that year. At least that's what I told everybody. They weren't recruiting a quarterback. That's why I wasn't on their radar.
Is it because you couldn't grow those Bama bangs? Remember there was a run there where John Parker Wilson, didn't he have the Bama bangs there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you had to be able to do the swoop, you know. You had to be able to swoop it over. Yeah, so I already didn't qualify.
The expectations. You're going to a team that is a playoff team. How important was that you, if you were going to play, you were going to a team that had a chance to win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was definitely important. I mean, I still you always believe wherever you are, you can win. But it was definitely important. And this franchise, this organization, head coach, the whole deal. You just know it's moving in the right direction. Played them last year, and then just seeing what they've done over the last couple of years, you knew it was a franchise and a team that was hungry and ready to make a run. So, you know, we're one day at a time. I know it's the boring old answer, but one day at a time, just keep getting better and keep your head down and work. But our guys have really shown that, and we do that. So. But it's a heck of a group. It's one that's, you know, I just feel like top to bottom, we got, there's a lot of good players in there, and a good team, led by a great head coach, and we're excited to see what we can do.
I've never had this conversation with you, but I put your name up for the next TV job. I think you'd be great in TV. I don't know if you've discussed that with your wife. Was there a possibility that maybe you would have done or will do TV instead of playing football?
You know, I don't know that instead of playing football, but I don't, that's something I definitely don't want to say rule out for sure. Certainly, you know, shoot, humbling to even be in the conversation, with those possibilities. But I do want to coach football. That's been public that I'm going to coach high school football in South Alabama when the dust settles. I want to coach my boys and do that. So I don't want to rule out the TV side of it, but I feel like I belong on a sideline in a locker room with those 15 to 18 year old boys. I feel like that's kind of going to be my second stop when the dust settles here with my playing career.
Do you have a child who's similar in age to somebody who's a teammate? Like what's the, how old's your oldest?
Yeah, oldest is 18. So I'm sure there's some 21. I'm sure there's probably a few 21 year olds in there, but I know there's 22.
Oh yeah. My God. That has to be strange.
I want to say Jonathan Taylor was born in 98 or 99. And I was a senior. I was playing my fall season senior year in high school. So now I'm handing it off to him. You know, Michael Pittman Jr., I played with his dad. I played against his dad in Denver in 2008, I think. And now I'm throwing the passes. So and I guess you get to that time. I heard some stories with Brady, too, as well, with playing with, anyway. So, yeah, it's gotten to that point.
Good to catch up with you, and have fun this year.
Thanks. Enjoyed it.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let me give a shout-out here to Chris Haynes, NBA on TNT. Courtside reporter. That means he gets dressed up to go to the games. Yahoo Sports NBA insider and host of Posted Up with Chris Haynes podcast. He covered Lakers, Blazers Monday, Mavs, Clippers last night. So let me start with Mavs and the Clippers. Good morning, Chris. Do you think the NBA does anything to Marcus Morris after what happened to Luka Doncic last night?
It will be hard for them to find out that Marcus, you know, did that on purpose. I seen the replay, obviously, and I seen it live. And, you know, it does look questionable, but it's just hard to tell. I don't understand how the NBA could come down with a ruling saying that Marcus intended to step on the ankle or the foot of Luka Doncic. And that's a serious matter. Obviously, Luka is out there, you know, by himself when you look at it from a star perspective, and, you know, he's hobbled. And so for anybody to do that, that's definitely an egregious act. But I just can't see how the NBA rules down on Marcus.
Yeah, it's tough to rule on intent, and I'm with you on that. But when I watch it, Marcus Morris is not making a basketball play. There's no reason for him to be approaching Luka from behind because they just scored the basket, and he goes over. I thought he was going to, like, elbow it or, like, give him a forearm or something, like, nudge him a little bit, and you happen to step on the bad ankle. I'm not going to – and plus, this is Marcus Morris. If this is Kawhi who did it, I give him the benefit of the doubt. Morris doesn't get the benefit of the doubt here.
Yeah, and look, and Marcus has been roughing up Luka, you know, especially after Luka had those, you know, tremendous games. He's been roughing him up, biting him, trying to make sure he's getting all up in him, talking trash. And Luka even said it last night. Marcus is saying all type of, you know, foul stuff at me, but I'm trying to ignore him. So this is a tactic that Marcus Morris is using. Again, I know he's trying to get all up in him. I know he's trying to rough him up and bother him. But again, it's just difficult for us to tell intent.
The Clippers look great. What was the biggest difference last night? Aside from Kristaps not playing and then Luka being shut down, and, you know, maybe that ankle has a little bit to do with it, but what's the difference with the Clippers?
I mean, Playoff P showed up. Playoff P showed up. I mean, that was pretty much the difference. You know, he hit the first basket of the game for him. You can tell that was his mission, to be offensively assertive. And I think once he did, that kind of rallied the troops. And, you know, they just got it going. They had it going from the start. And, you know, really, there was a lot of different elements, but Paul George, definitely, I think that was a difference maker.
But then after the game, he talked about being depressed and, you know, being in the bubble, and it got to him. And so, because I wondered, was he injured? Was there something else going on here? Because he just seemed like he was not all there. And then he said, I was actually going through something in the bubble. How surprised were you with that?
I was surprised to hear him say that. I'm not necessarily surprised if that was really the reason why he was struggling. You know, there's a bunch of players who are having their ills here in the bubble, just trying to cope with not being around family, the things that's going on in society right now. Another unarmed black man shot, and this one happened in Wisconsin in front of his kids. And so there's a lot of guys that's dealing with these things. And, you know, you're used to after games going home, and whether that's a bad game, good game, or whether you're dealing with certain problems, you're used to going home and being around family, being around people that you love, people that support you and can give you guidance. That's not here. You know, teammates are teammates, and definitely there's a bond between teammates, but it's not your family. It's not what you're accustomed to going home to. And so that's been an issue for everybody. But I am surprised that Paul George did reveal that.
But then you had this, senseless shooting with Jacob Blake, and the players, at least it felt like there was the start of a groundswell that maybe they were going to try to do something, whether it's sit out a game, there'd be a boycott. How close do you think we are or were to something like that happening in the bubble?
Well, I just reported about 10 minutes ago for Yahoo Sports that there was actually a meeting held last night. There was a gathering with players who are just emotionally distraught and traumatized over what is going on. They're hurting here in this bubble. And a group of them met at one of the hotels here on campus, and they met with Chris Paul was there, Andre Iguodala, you know, as the leadership committee of the Players Association. And basically they're trying to get guidance and get some of the logistics of what it would look like if they were to boycott, trying to figure out their options. And it was a good talk from what I was told. And a lot of guys are just frustrated because they felt like a lot of things that they planned to do, like players plan before they got here, they planned to have meetings weekly. They wanted to have a couple meetings weekly just to kind of stay engaged and just brainstorm on what they can do. But those meetings haven't come about as frequently as they hope because, as you know, there's games every day, practices every other day, film study. And so they're feeling like a lot of players are frustrated because they're feeling like the thing is that they're coming over here and they're distracting away from the real issues that are going on in the Black community. And that is what they fear from the get. So those talks are still ongoing. They started yesterday. They had a significant meeting last night trying to get the logistics. So this is something that's brewing. And that's something that I don't know that it's going to get done, but there's definitely the talks are firm and it's definitely real.
How much pressure is on LeBron? Because usually when he says something, does something, you know, he's become sort of the de facto league spokesperson.
LeBron has made it clear from day one, even before he got to Orlando, that he felt that the NBA must go on. We must get the season. And so pressure on him. I don't know necessarily that there's pressure aside from just trying to perform on the court. I will believe this season is going to continue on. I don't know what's going to happen in the short term as far as boycotting games or so, but I don't see there being pressure. But I will say this, Dan, you know, there are people, players and significant agents who told the players, look, before we got to this restart, that, look, we can boycott or we can choose not to go to this restart, but how beneficial is it to us to lose money? And that's going to only hurt our chances of being able to invest in the Black community and being able to give back. So a lot of people are saying, a lot of players feel like, you know, boycotting or not playing, that's going to hurt the Black community. That's going to hurt our pockets, enable us to give back. So that's the other side of that equation. I think that's what LeBron James leans on as well.
We're talking to Chris Haynes, NBA on TNT, courtside reporter, and of course, Yahoo Sports NBA insider, host of the Post It Up with Chris Haynes podcast. Lakers fixed all their issues? They're all good right now?
In this series, especially with Damian Lillard out, they definitely fixed it for this series. But, you know, look, the Lakers have never been a good three-point shooting team all season. They were one of the poorest teams in the league. Over the last few games, you know, they've been one of the best. Is that going to be sustainable? And then when Rajon Rondo gets back, you know, can they keep that up? So I think they've solved it for right now. I'd be very, very surprised. Not to disrespect Yusuf Nurkic, not to disrespect C.J. McCollum and Carmelo Anthony, but I would be very surprised if the Blazers were able to extend it to game six. I just don't think they have the firepower and the depth to continue with the Lakers right now.
Who would the Lakers want to face between the Rockets or Thunder?
The Thunder. I would say the Thunder. I would say the Thunder. I just think the matchups are a problem. You know, Oklahoma City has a small guard backcourt, not just in the backcourt, you know, even at the small forward position when they put Shea Alexander over there. So, yeah, OKC for sure.
Can you see Greg Popovich actually taking the job in Brooklyn?
It's tough. It's really tough. It's really tough for me to imagine that. No doubt about it. Sean Marks has his eyes on Greg Popovich, you know, one of his mentors. But it's very tough. You know, for the last 4 years, you know, we've been kind of hearing Pop is thinking about retiring. You know, retire. It's like every year, like every single year. It's kind of like Jordan, you know, his last tenure, you know, his last few years in the league. You just didn't know if he was going to retire, this is going to be the year or not. So I will say this. If Pop did take that next job, I can't see it happen. I personally can't see it happen. But if he did, you know, that's a situation where it's a short-term fix, because I think Pop can go in there and transform that team into a championship contending team from day one. And so I can see a scenario of where it would make sense, but I just can't see it. I don't see it at all.
Yeah, I wondered if he was going to continue coaching, and I thought that he would eventually, when he left the Spurs, leave them in a place of comfort that Becky Hammon might take over as the head coach. I don't know if Tim Duncan wants to be the head coach, but I thought, knowing Pop and always forward thinking, that he would welcome or try to usher in Becky Hammon as the first female head coach in NBA history. What do you think about that?
No, and that would be the ultimate move. That would be the ultimate assist. No, definitely. I definitely see that. If Pop feels like Becky is ready for this opportunity, and then he can go over there and get back to playing high level basketball and get back to the postseason, because as we know, Spurs didn't make it for the first time in what, 2 decades. So yeah. I can see that. It makes all the sense in the world. But it's just hard just to not see Pop on the Spurs sideline.
I don't know if you know this story. It just came out. The Pacers have fired Nate McMillan.
Mm.
They gave him a contract extension 2 weeks ago.
They put a year on his contract.
What the?
Yeah, I mean, it was funny, you know, when it came out that he got an extension. We're like, okay, that's cool. You know, so got some point, and we found out it was just a year added to it. So,
yeah, but I thought they were a feel good team, and you had the young players there, and you know, T.J. Warren was the Michael Jordan of the bubble. You know,
well, I mean, they got swept. So you know, Brett Brown got swept. So I believe they got swept. Didn't they get swept? Yeah. Okay. They got swept, and Brett Brown and Philadelphia got swept. And so, you know, that's kind of comes with the territory.
Got any bubble gossip there for me?
Bubble gossip. I mean, I haven't seen anybody sneak off. I haven't seen anybody come in as well. And I'm trying to think. Any juicy tidbits I have for you, DP?
Are you on late night patrol?
I'm not, but I am up late nights, and I find myself walking around. You know, not walking around to see if I see anything questionable, but just walking around because I'm
you're not narking out, right? You're not narking.
No,
I just want to make sure. Okay. I just want to make sure. I don't, you know. How's morale there?
Look, I think morale is going to be a lot better next week because wives and girlfriends get clear.
And what's it called? California work? Is that what it's LA work?
LA work.
Damn, I love that. I never knew that term, LA work.
Have you experienced that?
No. Oh, okay. No. I mean back in the early 80s, but I've been married 33 years, so I have a hard enough time doing Milford work here, man.
Don't get in trouble, DP.
No. I get worked. I'm not I'm not in the import export business here, Chris. I'm not. No. Nope. I've been in a bubble before there was the bubble. Good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
All right, man. You take care.
All right, that's Chris Haynes, NBA on TNT Courtside Report.
Got him crying.
I know.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.